Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slightly Something Else, the live podcast you just can't live without.
Even on a holiday, an American holiday.
Oh, so it is.
Supporting the veterans of our wars, and Yahtzee and I are working.
Well, I work from home most of the time, so holidays don't mean a whole lot to me.
I mean, we could not do this.
Although it is...
I could still be in my underwear playing Tears of the Kingdom. That'd be nice.
You mean you're not in your underwear?
No, I'm freeballing. What a weird way to start this. No, I'm not freeballing.
Hello, everyone. Let's just say you're lucky these webcams only record from the waist up. Anyway, topic this week is on the subject of bad games, because we've all been playing Gollum recently, which everyone's decided is like the apocalyptic sign of the end of video games du jour.
Yes.
Much as they did, like, mere weeks ago when Redfall came out.
Yeah. And mere weeks before that with Crime Boss Rake City and Atomic Heart, and mere weeks before that with Forspoken. We're in a time loop. We're stuck in a time loop.
There certainly seem to have been quite a lot of shitty games this year. But who still talk about Forspoken? For all the fuss that was made at the time at how bad it was, and everyone, like, decrying it as the worst game ever and worst game of the year, now suddenly it will struggle to hold up to that title.
Yeah.
And I guess the point we're making is not that games are bad. It's just that the coverage of bad games is starting to seem a bit hyperbolic.
Yeah. I was thinking a lot about it when... So Frost and I streamed the first 2 hours for newly released yesterday of Gollum. And almost everyone who entered the chat... The first thing they would say is, oh, so is this like the worst game ever, like everyone says? And it's a totally reasonable thing to ask, because the headlines would make you believe like this game, you know, single-handedly goes to your house and desecrates the memory of your family.
Yeah.
But everyone, it feels to me like a game comes along every once in a while that kind of like has to act as a sin eater, and it has to kind of like, it has to suffer, and it has to be sacrificed for the good of all of gaming. And it feels like critics do that, and it feels like fans do that. And it's very strange to me.
I think I agree. I think I get what you're saying. You're saying that every now and again we get a game that is pretty shonky, as quite a lot of games are for so many games come out. And yet it's arbitrarily chosen as a sort of sacrificial lamb. Because, and I think this might be a consequence of big publishers having a lot of power and clout and ability to influence the media. So a lot of media correspondents feel they have to hold back when they're dealing with the stuff that's got like actual power behind it. So when something comes out that doesn't have a lot of clout behind it and is bad, it feels like the shit kicking it gets feels excessive, because everyone's having to work off their built up frustration.
So I agree with most of that, except that I feel like it's not even like people hold back punches on certain games and then unleash on games that everyone's dubbed the punching bags. But it's almost like, so a thing like Redfall comes out and everyone takes out all of their anger on Microsoft, on Arcane, on this whole live service disaster that we've been going through the last couple of years, where every game is, you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, that you're trying to get your own Destiny like, and this is the one where it's finally like the dam is broken. Everyone's like, enough is enough. We don't want to talk about this anymore. This is the game that we're gonna sacrifice for this discussion. It's like, it is dying for the sins of the rest of the games. I've done the same thing.
This is where we'll draw our line in the sand and say this far and no further. And then we do that again 2 months later with the next bad thing, and ultimately no lessons are learned.
And I don't want to, because even like yesterday, Frost and I started to sound like we were defending Gollum, and we by no means thought it was a good game. None of these games we just mentioned, I don't think any of them are good games. I don't think you should spend your money on any of those games, and I hope only positive lessons are learned from them. But when we see things like, this is an abomination, this is the worst game I've ever played, I'm like, is it really? Have you?
Yeah. You wonder how much.
Have you played the real bad ones?
You wonder how much of that comes from people who've actually played the game. I think there's a lot of Me Too-ism that goes on here. People watch the streams, or they listen to their favorite reviewers, and they just parrot those opinions. And I think part of that is because, well, negative reviews have always been like something that attracts people. People, they find them fun to watch. I myself was heavily influenced by negative reviews in my favorite PC magazines as a teenager. That's probably why I tend to skew pretty negative in my own style, because it's fun to, you know, take the piss out of something that deserves it. There's a lot of comedy to mine from that sort of thing.
And we as a people are a people of extremes. Things as it's either the best thing ever, which it's really fun to champion something you love, or it's the worst thing ever, and it's really fun to take the gloves off and go to town on something.
But I think it's worth confronting ourselves a little here, that sometimes we go a little bit too far to something that doesn't really deserve it. I mean, let's talk turkey, as it were. Do you really think Gollum's the worst game ever?
No, I think it gave me these like like PTSD memories of countless licensed games that I rented as a kid.
Remember that when licensed games were notoriously bad?
They were just a dime a dozen. Yeah, and I was like, games through the N64 era that I remember renting were just like, they were this exact same level of like unpolished, janky, completely forgettable, but like, you know, ultimately not the worst thing I ever played. It was very functional. Now, if I had 110 crashes, like the one guy said he had in his review, then I might feel differently about it.
Gollum absolutely wouldn't be out of place if it came out on like the PS2.
No, not at all.
A movie tie-in.
There was a lot of bad Lord of the Rings games that came out. There was like a Hobbit game that came out, a Fellowship of the Ring game.
PS2 had tons of terrible third-party stuff because it was pretty easy to develop for.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst game ever? Do we think E.T. of the Atari 2600 will still wear that crown?
I mean, it's funny because I don't even think E.T. is the worst game on the Atari 2600, because I think the Pac-Man port to Atari 2600 takes, like, it's the Don Corleone, they massacred my boy meme.
Right.
Like, it takes an iconic arcade game and tries to fit it onto a console that just cannot run it, and so it makes the game borderline unplayable. You know, there are games throughout history. There's, you know, like you said, there's E.T., there's Superman 64. You get your Ride to Hell Retributions. You get games that sort of their quality is judged because of the circumstances around it. So something like SimCity 2013, you know, some of those games we talked about early this year in our episode about sort of disasters and gawking at wrecks.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing about worst game ever is that it sort of depends on context, really, doesn't it? It depends on what's the general standard for the console or platform it comes out on.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the 25, the 100, the 1,000 worst games of this year are all probably on mobile and Steam, and we just haven't played them. Yeah. But those aren't games that are fun to because that's punching down, because you're, like, to, like, one guy who made a game or something, his first game, and I'm like, I'm not gonna.
Well, that's why the backlash against Gollum has felt a little iffy to me, because it feels like punching down to me, because it's the studio behind it is Daedalic, who are most famous for the Deponia series of adventure games.
Yeah.
And basically everything else they've done is like a point-click adventure game, and this is clearly one of their first forays into the sort of full 3D stealth platforming action that's more commonplace in the AAA space these days. And the fact that something fails because the developers weren't quite ready to do that sort of thing isn't like an interesting story to me. I mean, the funny stories are shit like Balan Wonderworld and the Tommy Wiseaus of the world, the people who had every imaginable advantage and still fucked it up because their vision was so fucking weird.
They had no one around to say no. Yeah.
But this is a developer who's clearly got a degree of affection for the subject matter, clearly trying to realize something. And it isn't like, you know, tainted in the usual way by publisher meddling, and that there's no crafting or gacha elements in it. There's no live service bollockery.
That's one thing I was really happy at, is we spend no time in menus. I don't even know if that game had a menu.
Yeah. And the point is, they tried and they failed. And that's not funny to me. That's sad.
Yeah. There's something, I feel like there's something about these sort of bottom tier games that gets people more emotional than really bad movies or really bad TV shows. And I don't know if it's because gaming is such like an active medium to where, like, if you come across a bad movie on cable or on streaming, or worst case scenario, you spend $10 at the movie theater, like, it's just 90 minutes of your life, and you can kind of multitask by just looking on your phone and doom scrolling the whole time. Whereas a game, you have to actively participate in it. So it is kind of continually feeding you its quality, and you have no way of saying no, no more, unless you just stop playing. And then if you spend money on it, then you're like, well, shit, why did I spend money on this?
Well, players of video games especially have always had more of an investment in that medium than most people do, because it's like a less respected medium, I suppose. Mm-hmm. At least it was.
Yeah.
So, and there was all that whole console war bullshit that sort of fed into that a bit. There's always been sort of knee-jerk protectionism in the minds of video gamers. So when a bad game comes out, there's a lot of this feeling that this isn't just, you know, something that I didn't like and I'm just going to move on from and forget about. This is like, this is bringing down our beloved medium. This is tarring us all with this horrible brush.
What if Roger Ebert sees this?
I know.
What's he going to say?
Solidarity, assholes.
it also feels like we gravitate towards these messes when they're either like attached to a known, you know, IP or franchise, like Gollum is, or if they're by a known publisher or creator, Balan Wonderworld, you can put Yuji Naka next there. If there's like kind of pre-release drama around it, if we get news of the game being delayed a bunch, or shuffles at the studio, or even like the idea of, like, a lot of people keep calling Gollum a AAA game, and I'm not sure it is. And I think people think that because it had advertisement slots at, it was either the Game Awards last year or Summer Game Fest. And so when people see a game in these showcases, which Forspoken was during those showcases, Atomic Heart, Redfall, Rock Ace City, all these games had prominent spots at showcases over the past year or two. It feels like people, by being there, people sort of elevate it to a certain level, like a Super Bowl commercial almost.
Mm. I'm just checking on the publisher of the game, Nacon.
It's Nacon, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at their list of published games. They are absolutely not big boys. They are...
No, it seems like they kind of... Maybe there was like a Tolkien fire sale on the license before Embracer bought it, and...
Oh, you know what it might be? It might be that it's out of copyright. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings.
It's not anymore, though, because Embracer, that company, bought the rights to Lord of the Rings last year, so they didn't have anything to do with this game, but they literally bought the rights, like, all Lord of the Rings things, movies, and whatnot going forward. Although there is a weird rights thing, because, like, the Rings of Power Amazon show can only talk about specific characters, and they can't, like, directly mention certain things, so it's almost like you get slices of rights, which is all just very strange to me.
Well, I did notice Gollum was sort of going out of its way to not resemble the films.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I made it very clear, based on the books, Lord of the Rings by Tolkien, the books.
Yeah.
The books, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is our own new interpretation, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. The only thing, like the pointing at being like, I know that from the movies, was in the opening 2 hours, you see that they're building this giant, like, wolf battering ram. And that thing is in the third movie. His name is Grond. It's very cool, and everyone chants Grond.
I absolutely didn't remember that. Was that something that was in the books?
It was in the movie. I don't know if it was in the books. It was very cool in the movie, because everyone chants Grond, and then it's used as a battering
ram. Well, if they were chanting its name, I'm going to assume it was in the books, because you know that...
Yeah, because someone was saying... Because another thing I pointed out... I don't want to talk too much about Gollum, because obviously your review will come out. But, like, aside from Gollum, none of the characters in the opening 2 hours had names. It was just like Mean Orc and Old Man. I'm like, why don't you give these people names? Yes, once you have three lines of dialogue, just give someone a name.
Well, I mean, you know, I have like this knee-jerk attitude of wanting to like defend the things everyone hates and shit on the things everyone loves.
Yeah.
But I interpreted that as us seeing the world through Gollum's perspective.
Fancy,
arty, farty. Because that's just how Gollum understood the people around him.
So the guy is just a frail old man, and so he calls him frail old man, and then the angry orc is just an angry orc.
I think it's an interesting thing to do, to sort of explore an established plot from the perspective of someone who's not involved with it and just sort of sees it on the fringes.
Yeah.
And that's why I liked Gankutsu, Count of Monte Cristo, because it focuses on a relatively minor character from the books.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yeah, I mean, why bother retelling the story of the War for the Ring again when we could tell the story of a relatively minor character from it who only sort of affected by it on the fringes, which is just as useful of the as the like the movies to sort of build the idea of this setting and create the vibe of the situation.
Yeah, I don't think it's inherently a bad idea. I do think Gollum just mechanically doesn't seem like a very interesting character. Also, stealth to me is like I used a subscription yesterday on the stream, but it's like that blowfish that's poison unless you slice it and serve it the exact perfect way. To me, stealth can so easily go wrong that if it's not in capable hands, it is one of my least favorite sort of mechanics or genres.
For when the game actually lets you do stealth, of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hand-holding. It's probably the climbing and platforming that's the most consistent presence in the game.
Yeah.
That's pretty shonky, but as you say, we'll get to that next week. Mm-hmm. Well, what's a good stealth game? Not to like pursue a tangent too long, but what in your view is a game that does stealth well?
In terms of big AAA, Metal Gear is always one that comes to mind. And then in terms of indie, Mark of the Kree, which I think Mark of the Kree might have one of my favorite stealth systems in the past 10 years. I don't even know if that game was 10 years.
What's that game? Styx Master of Shadows, I think it's called.
A lot of people were bringing that up with Gollum. I think that feels like a Gollum game.
That was sort of the area Gollum, I get the feeling, either was or should have been trying to aim for.
I wonder if that game was big in Germany, which is why. So Daedalic's a German company.
Like the reason why a company like Daedalic is still around right now, it's just like mostly making point-and-click adventure games, is because Germany never really went off point-and-click adventure games the way the rest of the world did.
Yeah, but in the sort of the in the conversation as a whole, it feels like we almost have these like watching these bad games roll by is almost like looking at like floats at the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, and it was like here's Forspoken, and it is the big thing of the moment, and everyone's talking about this float, and then it rounds the corner, and then the next float comes by, and we're all gawking at that, and no one remembers the previous one. Like you said, most people are like, man, Forspoken came out this year. That was this year. And by the end of the year, we're going to feel that, I think, about most of these games, honestly.
I guess the violent, excessive response to these bad games is a fairly understandable balance response to the way these games were hyped to us in the first place.
Sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it feels like how dare you force me to watch trailers for this during these prestigious showcases? I'll show you.
I mean, that's why the vast majority of bad games we don't hear about, because they're not getting pushed at us. I mean, that's the objection here. It's not that the game's bad; it's that it was bad and it was oversold as well.
Yeah,
that's really what's fueling all this.
Yeah, and that's similar. You know, Redfall and Forspoken, we saw it like a half dozen different showcases over the last few years. So it these were games that were kind of in our mindset of, well, I should probably look forward to this game because all these fucking talking heads told me I should.
And this is probably why this is coming up so much in recent times, because nothing is being oversold quite like games these days, because they got to make the money back. They've been costing an awful lot to make, and the quality's only sort of dipping down over time.
Yeah. And we're also like, we as creators of things, and we as in the audience who consumes these things, like we are constantly just talking about this shit. Whereas 20, 30 years ago, you just weren't inundated with all this stuff. Maybe you got a magazine once a month, or you saw some ads in inside your local game store, but like you were able to avoid most of this. Whereas now, if you're like tuned in and you listen to a handful of podcasts or streams or read your favorite writers. Like, you hear about these games for years and years before they come out. And so, like, you already have almost formed an opinion on them before they are even playable.
Yeah, I think the lol cow for the print magazine period, the big one was probably Daikatana.
Yeah.
Because that took quite a few years to make, and we were constantly hearing about it, like, month on month, every time we got a new video game magazine. Then in the end, it was shit, and nobody liked it, and it was really broken on launch. And so the magazines made hay while the sun was shining there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was also one of those, like, there's nothing we like more than popping the balloon of hubris, right? And that was the John Romero's going to make you his bitch. And
that's why we love the Tommy Wiseau story. That's why we love focusing on these deluded creators, because it's fun to see, like, the pride before the fall.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not so fun when someone just tries hard and just doesn't measure up, as with the Golem
instance. Yeah. And it's also kind of like we mentioned before, like we keep getting served these extreme takes because ultimately that's kind of like what the algorithm feeds us. And that's the engine that the flames that keep the engine of the hot take cycle and the echo chamber alive. Like, just calling something, it's fine, it's forgettable, just don't worry about it. That's not, no one wants to click into that. People want to know if this was the greatest thing ever, or if this was the worst thing ever, or if people say it's the greatest thing ever and your opinion is that it's not, they want to know why.
Well, most people are just going to have that sort of lukewarm opinion, but you're not going to hear it, are you? Because we always get the grease. It's it's the harsh takes that gets all the eyeballs.
And we talked about that last year with Saints Row, the reboot that came out. It was just like, this game's pretty forgettable. And you know what? No one is talking about that game anymore. Whereas, like, inside that kind of maelstrom, everyone was like, oh, this is gonna be remembered on the same level as Superman 64. And it's like, honestly, it's not. Like, it's these collective terrible games, they come and go as you know, quickly as a fucking McDonald's wrapper in the wind.
Okay, well, let's, as we say, see what sort of points of comparison exist between the worst games ever. So, Shag, Marry, Kill. Golem, Redfall, Forspoken, go.
I would Shag, Forspoken, because at the very least, I think it had some interesting mechanics to it. I would marry Golem. Well,
all right, let's try to reword this for video games. Play through once.
Okay.
Shag. Play through every week.
Have it be like an annual replay?
Play through every year, marry, or like remove from existence, kill.
I think I would remove Redfall, because Redfall to me was the most boring of the three. Okay. Every second of Redfall, I was like, this is not an interesting mechanic. So for me, the easiest one would be I put Redfall at the bottom of that pile.
Okay. Actually, I put Redfall in Mary. I would pick Redfall for my play once a year, because it's at least, while mediocre, it's at least playable and not painful to play. I feel like I could get through that. I could listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas the others, let me do the other two. I guess I would kill Forspoken.
Oh, rest in peace, Forspoken.
Because it is just so painful to play and to watch. And just to look at its visual style, it's just ugly to the eyes and painful for the thumbs. Golem, play once to be able to warn everyone else off and then move on. I mean, it's nothing to see here, people. There you go.
And I imagine of them, is Golem the shortest? Probably.
Yes.
Golem's probably like 10 hours or something.
Absolutely, yes, because Forspoken's an open world and Redfall's a live service, so...
Yeah.
Golem is, for all its faults, only wants to be an 8-hour, plot-driven, single-player experience, to its credit.
Yeah. And the weird... See, the weird thing, though, about... Do you think, in a year, one of these games could be different? I don't think Golem's going to be getting any updates. Where Forspoken is getting DLC this week, like an expansion, a named expansion. Ugh. And then Redfall could a bunch of like No Man's Sky, Final Fantasy 14 level
I was about to bring up No Man's Sky. Do you think any of these are going to get the No Man's Sky redemption?
No. I wasn't even sure. I didn't think No Man's Sky would get the No Man's Sky redemption.
Well, what No Man's Sky had was developers who were genuinely passionate about it, who felt they'd been pushed to deliver too quickly and felt like they had something to prove, and actually had a solid, innovative idea that they could develop into their into something that was closer to their intended vision. They had a vision. That's the difference.
Yeah. Honestly, of these three games, the thing that might be the most egregious is the $10 DLC for Gollum. Do you know about the $10 DLC?
I heard about this. I haven't really engaged with it as the reviewer because I never engage with DLC.
Sure. It contains three main things. One is the elves speak Elvish. So it adds the language of Elvish to the game.
Automatically added to our review code? Because
I have a feeling the review code we got was probably the deluxe edition, because we get that. That happens a lot.
I seem to recall the elves went back and forth when I was playing it.
So that might be the case. It also has, I think, five emotes for Gollum, where he like just chases bugs as an idle animation. Uh-huh. And then it also has its sort of lore compendium in-game, which seems insane that costs money.
Yes, that's dumb. But thinking about it, knowing what I know about publishers, this is probably publishers saying to them, okay, what can we cut out? What can we cut out and sell back?
Yeah.
And that was like literally all they could think of.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of the actual developers were like, yep, happy to do this. Thrilled for you to do this.
Yes, speaking of people being forced to do things by a higher up, but well, we'll get to that later.
that's pretty spot on.
Yeah. Have we like naturally finished ranting? Shall we go through super chats?
Yeah, it's just it bums me out that there's no like there's no space for nuance, or there's space for nuance, but no one. A very small amount of people care about nuance.
Well, as you say, it's the nature of the beast with the media, with like 24-hour rolling news and all that being what it is. Yeah.
I'd be curious if you look at, say, at the end of the year, if you look at your, like, the most trafficked CPs, and is there is it just the bigger the game, the bigger the ZP? Or is it like, oh, we know these are bad games, so we're excited to see what you have to say about, you know, Redfall or Gollum or things like that.
I'd be interested to see myself, because I operate under the feeling that the main driver of clicks to my ZP videos is the existing profile of the game. So, like, you know, when I do like those two indie game for the price of one reviews, they like struggle to break a quarter mil, but then you know, Forspoken is probably at about a half mil now.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's also the Isaac Stewart said, I'm pretty sure Hogwarts would be pretty high, but that's because of the online conversation around it. Yeah, there's also the, like, external factors of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, Hogwarts is like a 559K at the time of writing.
Yeah.
That usually creeps up forever, because people will always be rewatching for many years to come.
Yeah.
But
you're in the kind of the rare space to where your reviews usually, unless we get code way early and it fits into the schedule, your reviews generally come out, you know, a week, 2 weeks after sort of the take cycle has concluded.
Yeah. So Hogwarts is at 500K, Resident Evil 4 remakes at 420K. Dead Island 2 is at 400, but then if you go back to Dredge and Cheer, which was 2 weeks before Dead Island 2, that's still only at 280.
Which is a bummer, because Dredge, way better than any of those games you mentioned.
Yeah.
Dredge is great.
So as I say, it's probably the profile of the game. Whether that profile comes from the game being really well known or from being really well known to be terrible, like Gollum, I guess we'll find out.
No publicity is bad publicity.
Although I think my videos do get a boost if I'm unusually praiseworthy of a game. Like Shadows of Doubt was like 12 days ago. That's up to 285.
And that's an early access game. Like, it's a game I literally hadn't heard of. And then you said you were doing it for ZP, and I was like, oh, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Have you checked it out? It's good.
It looks too scary.
It's good, man. It
doesn't actually look scary.
All right. Shall we super chat it up?
We shall. And remember, everyone, your super chats this month are going towards the funding goal of Nick playing Dark Souls 2, his last modern FromSoft game, for the very first time.
Yes, and remember, if you fund us through super chats and donations and Patreon subscriptions, we don't have to be funded by other things.
Yeah. I like it. This is all foreshadowing.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Gary Davis, member for 4 months in early access, is our first super chat of the week, who says, Superman 64. No modern game can match its awfulness. Oh, that was pretty bad, wasn't it?
It was really bad. That said, there was a lot of N64 games that were really bad. Yeah. And so I'm curious if that's the one that gets it because it is attached to a Superman license, which is a thing, or if like that very quickly got caught in the whirlpool of worst game ever. And so it's like a self-sustaining engine that keeps running. And people who say Atari or Superman, I'm curious how many of them have actually played it. And I'm not saying you should go out and play it.
Well, it feeds into itself, doesn't it? Because a lot of people haven't played it and just quote their favorite reviewers, and then other people quote those people, and other people quote those people, and it's all like a feedback loop that makes...
Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of the negative version of going viral. I mean,
yeah.
Once you hit a certain amount of like eyeballs, after a while it all feeds into itself and it just keeps churning out more and more views and in a sort of mathematical term that means continually getting bigger.
Extrapolation?
Maybe. No, what is it? Oh,
we're not mathematicians.
I've been losing sleep lately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you not CPAPing?
Yeah, I'm CPAPing, but I'm just getting insomnia problems, largely like the general stress from living with two children under the age of four.
Yeah.
And, you know, keeping up my work. And Star Trek Vagabond's nearly complete, so...
Ooh.
There's a number of factors. I might be back on Lexapro soon.
That's exciting.
Sure. Not so much for the bedroom.
Because
Lexapro has a history of killing my boners. But anyway, you didn't come here for those sorts of personal details.
SES Guru said conflation. Remember conflation?
No. Exponential, what? That was it. Thank you.
Literally what I said. What is happening?
You didn't.
I said exponential. That was the first thing I said. You said no.
Oh, I'm tired.
That's fine.
I've got insomnia. That's going to be my go-to excuse for the next few weeks, I think.
That works for me.
Dividra gives $20 and says, well, here's 20 in advance. Can't listen to these live anymore since work banned earbuds, all because some jackass wanted to flex authority. Consider this payment what I won't be able to give from now on. I think we could all sympathise, Dividra. We've all had to deal with higher-ups messing up our shit.
Never.
Haven't we, Marty?
I've never.
Never?
I've never.
Not once?
Ever. Not once, not never. Tell you, straight from me and Yahtzee, tell your boss, fuck right off and put your headphones in.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Fire you? Fire you?
Also, it turns out I didn't say, I said extrapolation, so I was wrong. I was
Insomnia was not the blame
for that.
It was
beauty killed the beast.
There you go. Okay. The Knife Pie, getting into the super chats that actually came out while we were live.
Knife Pie.
Who gives 50 Swedish krona. And this is their first super chat, of course.
Oh, which, my God.
Something
pie.
That YouTube, apparently, because it is worth highlighting these days. While I respect your right to calm and rational discourse, consider that I don't like current bad game, and therefore it is the worst game ever. Have you played current bad game to the end, The Knife Pie? I have.
Do you think there's any really bad games that turn it around at the end? Like, do you think there's any bad games that it's like, if you stick with it, it's slightly less bad? And not in the, like, Final Fantasy 13 gets good after 25 hours, but
the
like,
one that always comes to mind for me is Dark Void, where it starts off as, like, a shitty third-person, like, cover shooter of the era.
Yeah.
And then you get a jetpack, and then it kicks ass.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And the other one that comes to mind was Remnant from the Ashes, which a lot of people like, but initially I thought it was kind of a dowdy third-person shooter with some Souls-like elements, but then, like, quite a ways in, suddenly it becomes this sort of dimension-hopping fantasy shooter, and then suddenly I was really into it, and I found that at that point I just sort of shook myself awake from having been completely zoned out for the last 10 hours, and I was like, wait, how did we get here? I wasn't keeping track. I wasn't following the story at all, and now I'm really interested. Game!
I knew some people who, I don't know how, played through Spec Ops The Line and just played through it on a very surface level and was like, oh, that was a pretty boring third-person shooter. And when I asked them, like, about, you know, just all of the things that game is remembered for, they're like, yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. And I was like, so, how did you, I guess if you just play this game solely as a turn-your-brain-off third-person shooter, it is pretty bland.
Some people just want a thing to do with their hands, I suppose. It's the kind of people who skip cutscenes on their first run-through.
Sickos. Because the kind of people who choose Mary Redfall and play it every year.
I didn't come here to have a star, right? I ain't watching a movie with subtitles. I didn't come here to read a book.
Also, speaking of subtitles, why is the font in Gollum so weird?
I can't say I noticed that. This feels the least of everything, frankly.
The font is just like Courier New or Arial. It's just like a default font, and it just really, really baffled me.
I really didn't notice.
We were on Font Watch yesterday.
Okay. Did someone bring it up in the chat or something?
I brought it up.
Okay.
And everyone in chat was like, yeah, the font is pretty weird. Calibri, that was a Jason Tudor. It's very strange.
That's just a standard, normal-looking font, isn't it?
Yeah, but it looked weird in the game. Okay. Like, if you're in Middle-earth, I want, like, fancy fonts.
Well, you want it to be readable. I mean, there's been that whole, like, movement for accessibility in subtitles in the last few years. But anyway, the Piss Bandit, member for 22 months, in bonus content, says, how much of this discourse is just the general gaming public taking any opportunity to kick the giant publishers in the shins? P.S. Send more piss. Well, it's not a giant publisher, is the thing, Piss Bandit. I think people might be perceiving it as such just because it's attached to such a huge IP.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's why, you know, they get this sense of this big, powerful entity that's coming down and bringing shit into our lives. But I don't think that's fair at all.
Yeah. I would say that, I think, great point by Piss Bandit, by the way. Also, if you're a Piss Bandit, don't say PS send more piss. Like, you're a bandit. Do your fucking job.
Yeah.
But I would say that does apply to, like, Forspoken and Redfall. You know, that's people have for a long time wanted to take shots at both Microsoft and Square, and those were ample opportunities to do that.
All right, then. Mitch Cyan gives £4.99 and says, Yahtzee, if you could be on any panel show, which would it be, and who would you like the other guests to be?
Oh, my gosh.
I would like to be on 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, because I'm good enough for anagrams that I feel like that could carry me through not being terribly funny.
8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown?
Okay, this takes some explaining. Basically, there's this panel show in the UK called 8 out of 10 Cats, which is a panel show about advertising, where people like discuss advertising and answers funny questions about funny advertising. And there's this other show called Countdown, which is sort of a lukewarm tea time anagram and maths game show for like retired people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this other show that's like a crossover. There was like sort of a joke crossover where all the comedians who usually appear on 8 out of 10 Cats appeared on Countdown playing the game and being very silly and facetious. And that was so popular. There's like 14 seasons of that now. Just getting some comedians on to do like anagrams and math puzzles.
I think that would be fun. I think you'd do good at that.
Yeah, I'd like to think I would. I like doing anagrams. I do the spelling bee most days on the New York Times app.
There you go. You should do a review, CP on spelling bee.
I think that would probably be lost on most of the audience.
Would definitely be lost on me.
Damned If I Do gives $10 and says, I think worst game is relative. The worst game I've ever played is Gotham Knights, and it was perfectly functional. It was just vacuous, but that's a very subjective thing. I'm going to say, Damned If I Do, without knowing anything more about you, that Gotham Knights probably isn't the worst game you've ever played. It's probably the most recent one that sticks out most in your memory.
And it might be one that you really wanted to be good because you like Batman games and that you wanted this to be sort of a continuation of that feeling of good times you had with the Arkham series. Mm-hmm. But also, I do agree that it is a very subjective thing. Like,
Should we call people out for hyperbole more? Very few things will be the worst thing you've ever played.
That's true. I mean, there can only be one at any given moment, right?
Yes. It's just lazy, yeah. Really. It's lazy language.
Yeah.
Meaning no disrespect, Dan, if I do, I'm sure you're a wonderful person.
Also, Gotham Knights is very forgettable, so I don't blame you.
Cushions Sap gives $5 and says, when I think of worst game ever candidates, I think of stuff like Custer's Revenge, Rayplay, and Super Columbine Massacre RPG. Ah, now the common thread there is games where you actually have to depict, where you actually have to perform atrocious human behavior.
Mm-hmm. And it does so seemingly for titillation and not for any, like, deeper artistic merit.
Do you think there's any artistic validity in something like that? Even, like, all intention on the developer aside?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
If someone were able to handle it, like, I don't think any topic is taboo. If someone were able to handle it with adept hands, I don't think any of those developers...
I haven't played it for myself, but from what I understand, Super Columbine Massacre RPG is actually fairly deeply written.
I haven't played it either, so.
And it's almost sort of genuinely philosophical in its exploration of these people and their mindset.
Yeah.
But then, as I said,
is it the title that gives it the air of titillation?
It is a depiction of the Columbine Massacre.
In, like, RPG Maker kind of thing, right? And, like, top-down, like, yeah.
There's another one for the Virginia Tech Massacre, I think.
Great. Whole cinematic universe of these games.
Remember that when mass shootings were individually newsworthy enough to become a cultural touchstones for a while?
As opposed to them all glomming together and...
Yeah.
One was at a church, this one was at a grocery store, this one was at a mall.
Well, that's still the case in countries other than America.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Like in the UK, there was the Dunblane Massacre, so they banned handguns, and now there are no massacres.
Yeah.
In Australia, there was the Port Arthur Massacre, so they banned guns, and now there's no massacres.
Yeah.
But, you know, people hate when we take a political bend.
How dare you?
Funny how observation of reality is a political thing now.
It is, truly.
Anyway, Harry's Son 94 gives $5 and says, what makes these cases sad rather than funny to me is remembering that people were sincerely trying to make a neat game without any maliciousness. Malice, yeah. Harry's Son 94. You don't have to add like a million suffixes to the word to turn it into a noun. The noun is malice.
Fun fact.
But yes, that's what I was saying. I don't think there's malice behind Gollum, at least not from the developer's part. The publishers probably worked it over.
Sure, I don't, like, the actual on-the-ground developers, no one is setting out to make something shitty that they're trying to sap money from. Now, when you start getting to the higher-ups,
it's probably true of most development studios, that the actual developers are usually just trying to get through the day.
Yeah. So yeah, no one sets out being like, I'm going to spend 2 years of my life on a bad game.
Hmm.
Also, Jesse, thank you so much for the raid with a party of six over on Twitch. Ooh. Thank you, Jesse.
Ooh, thanks, Jesse. Palash T gives $4.99 and says, safe to assume we'll see many more instances of terrible media using Lord of the Rings license. I just hope they go for broke and make something so bad I enjoy it. I'm starting to feel like Lord of the Rings is turning into the new Star Wars in that every side character and slightly murky period in the timeline is going to get brought out into the sun and someone's going to try to base a media empire out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've already said, I think someone said that Daedalic got a grant to work on a second game, another Lord of the Rings game, not a second Gollum, but like something else in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Change their studio name, they've got any sense. Yes, just show up with a like false moustache and says, Daedalic? Who is this Daedalic? My name is Mr. Kiladide. Mr. Arms and Legs gives $6 Canadian and says, I hope Forpoken, square bracket, sick, close square brackets, gets a critical reevaluation and successor. The combat and traversal were second to none. I don't think I agree with you there, Mr. Arms and Legs.
I like how you you've been like copy editing a lot of people today. I like that.
Well, I you know
I appreciate it. You're a writer. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I'm probably just a typo, but you know, keep your mind in the game.
Do you think which one of these three games do you think, if they were given another chance, do you think could make the most improvement of those aforementioned Gollum, Forspoken, Redfall?
When you say another chance, are we talking No Man's Sky Redemption, like totally rebuilding it and patching it?
Maybe just a sequel.
A sequel.
Forspoken 2, Redfall 2, Gollum 2. Which is just Gollum hanging out in Lord of the Rings, I think.
I guess if I were to place stock in anything, I would put it in a Redfall sequel. Because those were proven developers that somehow, you know, pissed on the ice tray on that one occasion.
Yeah.
And maybe Gollum as well, you know, because, you know, there's a lot you learn in the development of a single game. Maybe the developers would come back and learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a lot of examples of games that come out and are sort of like whatever for the first one, and then the second one really kicks things up, which I think, you know, a lot of people say that about Uncharted, about Assassin's Creed, about Infamous, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't see a world where any of this is happening.
All right, then. Wojtek, the famous bear, of course, gives $5 and says, does E.T. still hold the record for worst game ever? I think the worst game ever, I mean, from a purely objective standpoint, would be something that somebody never released and just made in their spare time, and it was just a dumb thing to mess around with, like to learn Game Maker or something, and it was just a picture of Britney Spears that has to be maneuvered into a large penis or something.
Into? Interesting.
I don't know why my brain went there. That probably says more about my psychological profile than I intended.
Happy Memorial Day.
I mean, I think this the worst game ever thing is something that severely wants for qualifications. Worst game for what console? Worst game for what era? Worst game to play? Worst game in terms of intention? Worst game in terms of execution? I mean,
yeah.
There's many different interpretations of worst.
And it's interesting that, like, it feels like there's a cult of fascination that grows around those specific movies. You see, like, what Red Letter Media does with Best of the Worst or with...
Car Crash Fascinating. It's long been a thing.
But does that exist with games? Like, there are channels that sort of try to find the charming jank in mediocre games, but, like...
I think I once made the point that it's very rare for a game to be so bad it's good. Because when something so bad is good, it means you can riff on it MST3K style, at least in the context of movies and books and stuff. But you can't really riff on video games because most of them feature a repetitive gameplay loop, and you can't really sustain the good humor throughout something like that.
Yeah.
I guess you could riff on like a David Cage game pretty well.
Yeah. Which I guess is why... Is that why... people dogpile playthroughs of games and let's play, like plays. It's easier to do this without having to actually engage with it because you're not getting the frustration of playing a janky game. You're sort of watching it as an observer.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fun to feel frustrated. And if it's a janky game like Gollum, where you keep dying out of something that wasn't really your fault, then it's hard to maintain a good humor, I suppose.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, Shadowlands Productions mentioned Sonic 06. That seems like another one that, like, the game was actively pushing against you as you played it.
Ooh, and speaking of, TM558 gives $20 and says, just came across a YouTube video comparing Gollum to Sonic 2006. Haven't watched it yet, but I severely hope that the creator is being hyperbolic. Honestly, Jedi Survivor deserved more of a kicking than Gollum. I don't know if I agree with that, TM558.
That's insane.
I guess it would be fair to put Gollum and Sonic 06 on roughly the same level. I mean, they both share issues of being fundamentally broken on a technical level and kind of horribly designed as well.
Yeah, I think Sonic had the baggage of this, you know, it came following Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, and Sonic's fandom started growing into the thing we now know it as.
There's one thing the Sonic fandom doesn't do, it's grow.
But Sonic Frontiers. What a game. I think about Sonic Frontiers all the time.
I'll shut up about Sonic Frontiers.
Oh, you loved it. That was my favorite stream we did last year. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas Gollum, I don't know. Did anyone go
for
in and
me,
be like, this
it was
is going to be the Gollum game? Oh, that was a little M. Bison.
Well, there you go. Sorry, you were saying.
I don't know. Are there any like fucking Gollum heads who were like, Gollum's coming out. I'm taking off work. I'm taking the long weekend.
Lord of the Rings is a big property, man. I mean,
but Lord of the Rings has had a lot of bad. Like, I guess that's a similar hyperbole over Rings of Power. People were saying this is like the worst affront to God, that TV series from Amazon last year, whereas the series was just really forgettable.
Well, as I say, it's sort of being treated the way Star Wars always been treated, and Star Wars always has its hardcore fans. Are there hardcore Lord of the Rings fans? I know there's like hardcore ones who are like book purists right from the beginning.
There were people who were well actualing us every time I said something that I thought was real in Lord of the Rings, and it turned out I was mistaken.
there's so much lore that no one cares about. I mean, Tolkien wrote like a fucking encyclopedia in the form of the Silmarillion, and it was basically just filling out the history, and it's just totally, totally boring to read.
Frost called the Silmarillion the Salmonella yesterday, and several people well actually to him, and I was like, yes, it was a goof, guys. You gotta get with the goof.
Matthew Muir gives 550 Canadian and says, can a terrible ending ruin a game that you would otherwise consider to be a great game? Two words, Matthew Muir, 12 minutes.
There you go. Yeah.
I was sort of liking it up until the end of that one. Yeah. And the ending just basically completely undermined the entire plot. So, yes, that can happen. Although in that case, that was because it was a narrative-driven game. If it was a game more about the gameplay, and if the gameplay was fun up to the end, then why dwell, you know? I mean, I think most of From Software's games have pretty shit endings. Because the games aren't really about the endings. They're about the journey, man.
Yeah, and it seems like in most of the games, you're sort of like, you hit your apex of enjoyment, and then the game goes on a little too long.
Yeah. Is there any of them that comes close to just stopping while it's still at the peak? Bloodborne, maybe?
Bloodborne, yeah. I think the Sekiro heads would say Sekiro. I haven't played Sekiro, so I cannot say Sekiro.
Shane Fell gives $7.99. It says, hi, fellas. Salute. What's the best racing stroke driving game either of you have played? I'm considering buying Lego 2K Drive, but I'd have to put off buying Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, no.
Well, I guess I'd have to bring up Driver San Francisco, one of the few driving games that ended up in one of my top five lists.
Yeah, and that does something very neat with driving.
Yeah, and it's actually surprisingly plot-driven. And I kind of like racing cars as a gameplay mechanic. I just so rarely find a game that uses it in a way I like.
Yeah, I lean into the arcadiness. Like, I thought Burnout 3 and Burnout Takedown, I really loved those two. I've had a lot of fun in some of the Forza Horizons. When you start getting too simmy, I tap out a little bit at the Gran Turismos and the Forza Motorsports and the Drive Clubs and all that. I've heard good things about Lego 2K Drive, though.
Backpack gives $5. It says, based on what you said about tone, particularly Sonic the Hedgehog, are you someone who thinks cartoons are just for kids? Now, I detect a note of butthurtness there, Backpack. I feel like you're trying to lure me into saying something that you want to argue about.
We're going to get you.
Of course, cartoons aren't just for kids. Initially, cartoons weren't just for kids. Everyone watched cartoons in the old Max Fleischer days. Mm-hmm. Cartoons being things for kids is a relatively recent idea. or probably like championed mostly by Disney.
Yeah.
In the early days of their big, you know, animated masterpieces. Mm-hmm. But specifically Sonic the Hedgehog, the reason why I think that game has tone problems is because Sonic the Hedgehog is a franchise about a cartoon hedgehog who's blue and has big cartoon eyes fighting a stereotypical mustache-twirling mad scientist who has no clear motive except to do horrible things to the nice, sweet, cute animals. And that is a concept for babbies. The moment you... It is completely lacking nuance. The moment you try to analyze it or try to present it in a realistic fashion, like Sonic 2006 did, it all falls apart. That is why I think Sonic the Hedgehog has tone issues when it tries to be serious. Okay.
Remember when he kissed a woman?
Does anyone want to argue with me? Yeah, I'll fight you.
Remember when he kissed a woman?
Certainly do. A human woman, no less.
I think Sonic's for kids, but it doesn't mean you can't enjoy something for kids. I think there is a it's in the same thing. If someone says something about any art that you enjoy and they don't like it, you become defensive because you feel like it is a statement on you as an individual or as a human being. It's not. I don't know, if you like Sonic, just fucking like Sonic. You don't have to call it high art.
If they made a Mario game where you played as Waluigi as like a dark, brooding, trench coat wearing assassin with a gun, which is the equivalent of what they did with Shadow the Hedgehog, would you think that was something that really fit with Mario as a concept?
I would. You don't know how much I would play the game of Waluigi Breaking Bad. It would not, because Mario is for children, and adults can enjoy it too. Some of my favorite games are Mario. But,
Perhaps there's a wider discussion to be had here, but let's stick with the current one for now. Wojtek comes back with $5 and says, what are some of the blandest games you both have played? Well, I know how you could find out pretty easily, Wojtek. You could go to my best, worst, and blandest list from every year and see what I put in my blandest five.
Well, I mean, I feel like a lot of our aforementioned games were pretty much a lot of the blind games of this year.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham Knights will probably do as a recent example to throw out.
Saints Row would be the one I played to completion most recently. That
I think that topped out my bland list last year.
Yeah. Apparently, it got. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna go back and play Saints Row. But apparently, they updated the game and completely changed the combat. And I saw some people saying the game plays way better now. I'm slightly curious about it. But I'm going to be honest, I don't have any time. So play through Saints Row and tell me. Yeah, what if you just release it at launch like that?
I ain't going back. They missed their chance, and that's on them.
Thinking about the Waluigi game with a gun.
When I do a negative review, I'm always asked, oh, is this going to be in your worst or your blandest lists? And I'm just thinking about it. I guess Gollum would probably be in a worst candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Forspoken as well, but Redfall's probably more a bland territory.
Man, I think Redfall is the worst of these three games.
You think?
Yeah.
I found it playable. I found it like insultingly easy, but it was playable.
Yeah. I guess there's something about a bad, like maybe first person shooters are like pizza, where like even the worst one, you could still kind of.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a sort of catharsis in. Murdering the shit out of all the vampires really easily.
I do think the thing I get Forspoken and the thing that would put Gollum above those two is I think I am getting so fed up with being forced to go into like Excel spreadsheet menus that like as soon as I see that in a game, like I'm immediately turned off. Whereas Gollum just doesn't. We didn't have time for menus. We don't got menus in this game.
Ain't no gear grinding. Yeah. What's he gonna do? Swap out his dirty pants?
Where do you think he kept all those fish?
Dirty pants. In his dirty pants. That's why they were dirty.
But they were so small. They're like little pantaloons.
Well, maybe they weren't very big fish either.
Good point. That's a great point.
Maybe he kept them in his tummy, and whenever he wanted to eat one, he just sort of sticked it up like a cow.
Oh, that's neat. Do cows do that?
Yeah, so that's what chewing the cud is.
Oh.
They sick up stuff from their stomachs and chew on it, and then swallow it again.
Out to cows.
Braden McLean gives $27.99 Canadian dollars. That's a weirdly specific amount. and says, while what can be considered the worst game can be pretty liquid depending on the person, I think we can all agree that no game can truly be the worst when games like Custard's Revenge exist. Which is the second time that came up. If you're not familiar with Custer's Revenge, it's a game for the Atari 2600 in which you play as General Custer, whose stated overt goal in the course of that game is to get over to a prostrate Native American woman and rape her.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what the game is.
They tried to downplay that in the copy. They tried to pretend that Revenge was actually the name of the girl and this was actually a consensual relationship.
Mm-hmm. She's tied up to a post.
Well, maybe they're into that.
Also, how did we get through this whole thing? You didn't say Custard's Revenge.
Well, I figured that.
I'm picking up the slack.
I thought maybe I could, take a break from that kind of shit.
I would, if I own an ice cream shop, I would name one of my flavors Custard's Revenge. No, I wouldn't, actually. No, I'm thinking about that. I would not.
Okay.
If you own an ice cream shop, though, there's an idea for you. Custard's Revenge.
Well, that wouldn't really convey what the flavor was, would it?
It would not. It really wouldn't.
You could make a sandwich.
I don't want to know whatever your idea is. I don't want to know.
You could make a sandwich shop and have a sandwich called Mustard's Revenge.
Is there a lot of mustard?
Because there's a lot of mustard in it, yeah.
Or like several different kinds of mustard?
Yeah. John Connor gives $550 Canadian dollars and says the games that really deserve the brutal kickings are the continuing IPs that become more and more cash grab live service looks over at Diablo. Well, quite, John Connor. Well, or you could just, not buy them. That's an option.
Yeah.
Not talk about them.
Because you know what? There's a lot of other games. There's a bunch of other games.
Sure.
Oh my God. There's so many games I want to play.
Some that will be over in 8 hours, like Gollum.
Not to Gollum. That game is $60. That is a lot of money for Gollum. I know we had a whole episode on what games should cost. That's a lot of money for Gollum.
It's like the standard cost these days. It's inflation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't blame everyone for that. Got to blame the economy.
I blame Ronald Reagan.
Centurion Zen gives $20. Says, forgot to say this a while back. It's okay to like a game that is bad. It's not okay to say a bad game is good, especially if you're not going to argue why. Because that's being unfair to games that are obviously better. You know, I'm going to sort of touch on that in my Tears of the Kingdom review this week, Centurion Zen. But I'm just going to leave that tantalizing tidbit unelaborated on.
Because the game is so good that you were at a loss for words?
That is certainly one possibility.
You know what? That's the multiverse I'm going to choose to live in.
All right, then. Mariam Chowdhury gives £199 and says, what's a good name for my friend's new chihuahua? How
Tabasco.
About Werther?
Werther?
Yeah.
Like the Werther's original?
Yeah, because you couldn't call him Toffee because that's my dog's name.
Gotcha.
So you just call him after a specific brand of Toffee.
I like Tabasco. Go with Tabasco.
Tabasco?
Yeah.
That's a bit obvious, isn't it?
Why is it a bit obvious?
Well, because Chihuahuas, Spanish America, Tabasco.
Tabasco's not Spanish. Tabasco's American.
Well, what's the language that the word Tabasco comes from?
From Big Tobacco.
I doubt that.
We don't know.
You made me curious, though. I'm going to check the etymology dictionary and find out. Tabasco, named for the state in Mexico. What do you know?
Or New Mexico. Think about it.
The place name is from an unidentified Mexican Indian language and of unknown etymology. Oh, I see. Etymology online. You'll give me five paragraphs when it's of Greek or Roman root, but when it's like Native American, suddenly like go back 300 years and that's all we know.
We're not going to put in the work.
Because everything else was lit on fire and infected with smallpox.
See, Custer's Revenge.
Paul says, gives $2, and says, hi, Toffee, I hope you don't shed as bad as my doggy. Oh, he does his fair share of shedding. He's short-haired, though, so not that much.
Ooh, Custard's Revenge could be the name of, a dairy pill that people who are lactose intolerant take.
Well, from context, I would assume it would be a pill that gave you lactose intolerance.
How do you market that pill?
I mean, or it could be like Montezuma's Revenge. It's like just the name for lactose intolerance.
Oh, that's good. All right, we got there. We got there. Okay. Great. Also, Amyar123 said, can Marty pick a question? We don't pick the questions. People pay money. And we just read them.
But if you pay money,
I will pick that question.
Yes, we just read them out, the super chats, in the order they came in. And I guess the subscriber messages as well. Unjointed Goose 8 gives $8.99 New Zealand dollars and says, worst game of the decade so far, or are most actually bad games just forgettable? When was Hunt Down the Freeman? That was last decade, wasn't it?
Is it really that old? I guess, yeah, if it was a...
Yeah, because I remember referencing it in my review of the decade video.
Yeah.
Ooh, of this decade so far.
Speaking of Half-Life, Half-Life 2 is getting tough. We're at that area where there's like a big town square that you have to maneuver around, and there's several tripod monsters.
Well, it's very fitting that it's getting tough there, because that's pretty much like the last final boss of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a chapter after that, but it's kind of easy.
Yeah, hell yeah.
What was I about to look up before you?
Worst game of the year. Was Ride to Hell Retribution this year or this?
No. That was before
this decade.
Yeah, that was before Hunt Down the Freeman.
Oh, I forgot what decade we're in.
I assume they're meaning 2020 onwards.
Yeah, no, that is.
All right, let me just double check. Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach was my last worst game.
You know what's probably the worst? What was the Platinum and Square game? The live service one.
Oh, Babylon's Fall.
Babylon's Fall. That might be the worst.
Well, it might be the worst if it lived longer than 6 months.
I don't think you could play it anymore. I never played Balan Wonderworld. I'm thinking of playing it. I really like 3D character platformers.
Babylon Wonderworld, is that worse than Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach? Probably not. Hang on, and let me just check the 2020 list as well.
Do hardcore Sonic fans and hardcore Five Nights at Freddy's fans feel similar to you?
Well, they're all dumb kids from my book. Oh, my worst game of 2020 was The Last of Us 2, of course. Well, at least that had some effort put into it, so I guess, yeah, we'll go with Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. Worst game of the decade so far. In my book.
Congrats, Freddy.
Alrighty. Council of Geeks gives $9.99 and says, I wonder if deeply broken games used to be more obscure. E.T. was the banner bad game for ages because it was big. It's not that games are worse, it's that more of the busted stuff is high profile. Well, we went over that, Council of Geeks. So, yes.
I don't even think it's that more of the busted stuff is high profile. It's just there is so much more content about games to consume. There is so much more criticism to consume, and we're constantly inundated in it. When I rented a shitty N64 game in the 90s, the only person I could complain to was like my brother and my friends.
I blame the current state of politics on 24-hour rolling news. Mm-hmm. The moment that came about and they had to fill space every second of every day, they had to play up every slightest issue and every slightest scandal. Until now, nobody trusts anything about politicians at all, and they like are easy prey for shysters. Who like say they're going to be a completely different kind of politician and then proceed to fuck everything up.
Yep. You know what I hate? Thumbnails.
Yeah.
Like over exaggerated thumbnails. One thing I love about ZP, very, very simple, very basic.
It's the visual equivalent of the clickbait headline, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is funny because a lot of them are bemoaning clickbait.
There you go. Camja Ninja gives $5 and says, did you see the PMG investigative vid on Disco Elysium? Really informative and kind of fucked. Wouldn't hold out hope for a Disco Elysium 2 or Nick's documentary. I hadn't heard. What's the current state of the controversy there?
People Make Games is a YouTube channel who does sort of these deep dive investigative essays on various topics. A few months ago, they did one on sort of the work, like Valve, like the working state of Valve and why we hear so little about Valve, why a lot of Valve employees are actually unhappy. Just this morning, that channel put up a 2.5-hour video essay on Disco Elysium, and apparently they traveled to Estonia, or wherever some of the developers and publishers are, and they like spoke to everybody about it and sort of created an entire video essay about what a mess that whole situation is. I have not watched it yet. I plan on watching it though, because their essays are very good.
Do you know the gist of why it's a mess though? Is there some controversy at work?
I don't. I know there was some, dispute between a few of the creators, a rights dispute between, like, the money men wanted immediately to greenlight a Disco Elysium 2, and the creators did not want it. I actually don't know, so that's,
that old
more
chestnut.
Ignorance. Yeah.
Money ruining everything, as always. Dand, if I do, gives $2 and says, what's the worst game you two have ever played? Well, as you know, I've played a lot of bad games, and I guess, analytically, I'd still go with Hunt Down the Freeman at this point. What about you, Marty?
God. I think the worst game I've ever had to review, because I play, I don't know, that'd be hard for me, was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm such a huge fan of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 through 4. And putting the 5 there, I was like, this is it. This is them getting serious about it. And then I played the game, and it completely forgot everything about what made Tony Hawk fun and enjoyable, and sort of creating a good rhythm. And it was just real shit.
All right,
it was nostalgia in the worst way.
So I just remembered. I noticed it come up in the chat again. So I just remembered it wasn't Sonic kissing a human girl in Sonic 2006. It was the human girl kissing an unconscious Sonic. And I don't know if that makes it any better.
No, it's worse. There's the lack of consent.
Yeah, it was all around a weird situation for everyone. And it was in a room full of Sonic's friends. I wonder what was going through their heads as they watched it unfold. They were like, are we okay with this? Should we step in? Like, this is getting a bit weird.
Were there any other humans in the room, or was it just critters and the human woman?
I think it was just the human lady. And the critters, like fucking David Bowie in that dance magic dance part of the movie Labyrinth, where it's just him and a bunch of Jim Henson's Muppets in a room.
You're gonna summon. You're gonna summon Jimmy to the stream.
There you go. TM558 is $5 and says, "I think the worst game in recent memory is Ride to Hell." That was sort of charming in its badness, as I recall. I still say Hunt Down the Freeman's probably worse. Now that I've thought about it. Because it's really not just that the game's shonky and badly designed and badly put together. It's also got some pretty negative intentions behind it as well. And it's just the fact that, Valve tolerate it to exist that makes it a sign of bad things in the current era.
And I guess it's also that it lives in the shadow of, masterpieces, kind of.
I guess, yeah. I wouldn't say lives in the shadow, it sort of stains a masterpiece with a big handful of shit. Anyway, Ice Age 70, member for 25 months in early access, says Reagan was the devil, Toffee is a legend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Toffee's the anti-Reagan.
There you go. Yes, you certainly won't be murdered by someone obsessed with Jodie Foster, will you? If I'm thinking of the right person.
Mark David Chapman. Yeah. Well, he wasn't murdered. He was attempted murdered.
Yeah.
That's the Reagan.
Maybe it contributed to his eventual death.
Mark David Chapman is, if I'm not mistaken, he's out of prison and like a traveling musician.
Uh-huh.
But most venues will be like, didn't you try to kill Ronald Reagan?
I guess they have to let him out sooner or later if he didn't actually kill anyone.
Exactly.
Anyway, Loki Coyote, member for 33 months in Tip Jar. And, that was the last Super Chat, actually. So,
And no comment, even.
Bit of an awkward moment to end on, but whatever.
Can I make up a comment that Loki would have said?
Hope you enjoyed our discussion of games that are bad. I couldn't speak for Loki. I couldn't begin to pretend to speak for such a noble and articulate handler of the English language.
I think Loki was going to say, oh man, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is such a great game. I'm really looking forward to review next week. Are there any specific situations around the review we should be aware of?
Oh, hold the phone. Here we go. Loki Coyote says, I bought Fallout 76 $9.99 in 2021. It does not deserve capitalization. It should have been free to play. It still was a steaming pile of crap. All right.
Don't a lot of people like that game now? Didn't that game get sort of a, not to the level of No Man's Sky, but have some sort of a redemption
well,
story?
I know we were just complaining about them, but I did most recently see a YouTube thumbnail that said, is Fallout 76 good now? And then afterwards in parentheses, no.
They answer their own question.
There you go.
Perfect.
But anyway, yes, this... Oh, John Connor gives $220 and says, worst game will be remake that kills the original. All right.
Silent Hill 2?
What's that?
Do you think Silent Hill 2, if it comes out this year, has the chance of being your worst? God,
well, it might. I mean, there's precious few things you can actually play the original Silent Hill 2 on these days.
Maybe they'll resell it. They're just going to resell those games to us, like they're doing with the Metal Gear games. Did you see that? Did you see any of those PlayStation things last week?
I heard they're remaking Metal Gear Solid 3, but...
I'm calling it Metal Gear Solid Delta.
It's not the same as a triangle. It's not the same as a re-release, is it? Which is what you want for games preservation purposes.
But they're also releasing the Metal Gear Solid Collection, which is Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, 3, like the HD collection.
I'm sure they'll do as great a service as they did with the Silent Hill HD collection.
But the insane thing is they're releasing that so everyone has to buy it again, and they're not just putting the old collections back up on the store. It's very... Very ugly.
Very dodgy.
But then, you know, I do love Solid Snake, though.
Who expects good things from Konami at this point?
Not me.
Fools, that's who. And insane people living the definition of insane people being people who make the same mistake over and over again and expect different results.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, and Dan, if I do get $2, says, ha ha, you thought the super chats were over. Ha ha, we're getting money. We don't actually care.
Oh, my God, it would be so terrible if you guys kept interrupting us.
Oh, yeah, that'll really teach us a lesson.
Oh, no.
Oh, here comes some more. Kamja Ninja gives $2 and says, Dan's dance for the money we throw.
Oh, no. How will we sleep tonight? Was Toffee dancing there?
Yes, he was. Okay.
I assumed that was the Toffee dance.
Okay, well, before any more come in, thanks for listening to Slightly Something Else. We have lots of content this week, including my usual long-awaited zero punctuation of Tears of the Kingdom that's coming out this week. And I suppose this is the point where we need to say that there, just so it doesn't catch you all off guard, there is an ad at the front of this week's zero punctuation, at least for non-members.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't our call. It certainly isn't something I'm particularly happy about.
I think you're a big ad guy.
No, not unless it's my own books, of course. So maybe I'm a hypocrite, but I'm sure you all remember how the YouTube skip function works, so feel free to make extensive use of it on Wednesday.
Also, like Yahtzee said, YouTube members and patrons will get an ad-free version of the Tears of the Kingdom review, and we now have 7-day free trials on Patreon. So if you want to become a patron for 7 days, you can watch it. You can watch it without an ad and cancel your membership, or continue your membership, because we got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, you could do that. There you go. And ad bloggers aren't going to work, Jason Tudor, because it's built in. It's baked into the video.
It is a video. Yeah.
So you're going to have you're going to have to skip.
So Nick has let people know in the Discord, Nick's let people know on YouTube. And let me say, I'm happy with how reasonable everyone has been. And don't worry, Nick is working hard to make sure situations like this are in more control going forward.
I'm sure there's going to be some people who are very annoyed about it in the comments this week. Feel free to do your part by directing them to this part of this podcast so we can all apologize en masse. Sorry about that.
There's only one thing I'm going to be mad at. If you don't agree that Tears of the Kingdom is the greatest work of art created by human hands ever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's good that it's at the start of the video, because then everyone will be distracted by being angry about the review once they get past that. But yes, this is what happens when you don't super chat enough, people. Speaking of which, Wesley Thomas.
Yeah.
Wesley Thomas gives $550 Canadian, says, didn't Yahtzee give Right to Hell Retribution the Lifetime Achievement in YouTube Award? Well, that was many years ago, before Hunt Down the Freeman. And,
lifetime,
you know, honestly,
Achievement in YouTube Award? What does that mean?
Lifetime Achievement in Terribleness or something. Or,
oh.
I can't remember precisely what I said. Yes, there we go. So hopefully we've made our positions clear with this week's Zero Punctuation. Just skip a minute into the video or get the 7-day free trial on Patreon. Good news is it's coming out on YouTube and the site at the same time this week. So yes, we can maximize clicks or something.
Yes. And then I don't know what the schedule is. No, that's fine. We'll just end it there.
Okay. I mean, Extra Punctuation's had sponsored a few times, and you know, you all survived that.
People got to eat. Listen, yeah, I've become a fiend at just skipping in videos.
Yeah. Did you know you can just skip ahead 10 seconds just by hitting L on the keyboard if you're watching YouTube on computer? Just press that like 5 times.
La 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 la.
Yeah, la 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 la. Just pretend you're in Metal Gear Solid. La le lu la la li lu le
le lo.
Yes.
Man, Metal Gear's great.
Anyway, what else? What other less tainted content have we got coming out on the Escapers
this week?
Oh,
we got so much taint. Our content's just, it's filled to the brim with taint. Don't you worry about that. Have you ever heard the term grundle before?
Grundle?
Yeah, as a term for taint.
Wasn't that Jeff Goldblum's character in The Fly?
Grundle Fly?
Yeah.
It was. Sorry, that was neither here nor there. No, later today, Hidden Gems will continue with Jesse and Casey. They're playing Tesla Grad 2, which I think is like a Metroidvania, where a 2D Metroidvania where you have lightning powers.
I'm vaguely familiar with the original. Is that the game where you literally play as Nikola Tesla?
No, I think it looks like the key art looks like a woman.
It's a recurring...
Nicole Tesla?
It's happened enough times that I feel it worth stating as a rule, always be cautious of any game in which Nikola Tesla is a character.
Not the same with movies, though, because David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla in Christopher Nolan's The Prestige.
Yeah, he was good in that. I was thinking specifically of The Order 1886. I think it happened in Dark Void as well. Nikola Tesla just shows up as a character.
Was he also... Do you remember... I think it was a Wii shooter named The Conduit.
Oh, yes. I think
wasn't
he was
there
in
one
that.
Of the games where like a portal opens up at the end and like...
Oh, no, that was Cyberpunk. Conduit. That was The Conduit 2.
Okay.
It ends with like Cyberpunk presidents appearing from a time
Yeah, like Abe Lincoln and JFK, like ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the issue we have with sponsors, Lord Rafer, is that like Zero Punctuation has always been able to scoot by up to this point without that sort of meddling from publishers or higher ups. But you know, we pride ourselves on the purity of the Zero Punctuation late 2000s era YouTubing. Mm-hmm. We haven't changed much in about 16 years, and we don't intend to change in the future.
What if we start running ads where nothing is ever mentioned, but your ZP character in the reviews is wearing like a shirt of like Rockstar Energy?
Oh God. Only if we get to, you know, burn it in effigy at the end of every video.
There you go. Perfect. The rest of our streams will also be normal this week. And then next week, all the Summer Game Fest stuff. So we're going to have a bunch of pre and post shows for stuff like the Summer Game Fest stream and the Xbox stream, so that we together can get excited about the games that a year from now we'll be complaining about.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that'll be it from us. Did I mention that I've got an Extra Punctuation dropping for everyone on Thursday?
You did not.
Well, I've got an Extra Punctuation dropping for everyone on Thursday.
Gotcha. Can you give us a little taste of the topic? A little topic taste?
What's this one? Oh, I think this is health.
Oh yeah.
Yes, the one that's already on the numbers.
You know who's on the thumbnail of that one?
Tell me.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, fittingly, because it's something I mentioned at one point.
Love that hedgehog.
There you go. If you want to hear me say a positive thing about Sonic the Hedgehog, tune into Extra Punctuation this week.
You know what's positive about him? He gets a bunch of kisses when he's asleep.
Yeah, like literally beating the women off to such an extent that even comatosed, the effect is still strong.
Sonic's great.
Anyway, I have to take this dog for a walk.
Oh.
So I'll see y'all next time.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for hanging
out. Bye. Quickly close the video before the publishers find out all the terrible things we said.
No, we're gone.